Okay. Now, we got the problem. Now, if we're going to solve this, get some solutions, we need to know something about how this endified works. And I think this is the problem area we didn't know anything about for a long time. We were ignorant, and it showed, too, in what we were trying to solve. First, this thing lives its entire life cycle within the tall fescue plant. And it is not visible externally on plant. You know, we've had more problems with that with some cattlemen and people. Well, I can't see anything out there. No, you can't. It lives inside the plant. And it's not typical for a diseased organism. And it is spread only through infected seed. This is another one. People say, well, does it move plant to plant? And I say, no, it doesn't. But when I have a pasture, and we check it, we'll increase in percentage of endophyte over the years. You're right, it does. And the reason it does that is if you've got a mixed population of toxic and non-toxic fescue plants in there, over time, when you graze it hard, the toxic plants are going to overcome the endophyte-free plants, and they will dominate, and pretty soon that will be the overwhelming number of plants out there. Okay. The storage of infected seed results in death of the fungus within a year. So it does not live too long if in stored seed. Now, if you look at what happens, this is a symbiotic situation, mutualism, where the plant and the host plant and the fungus are intertwined, sort of like the rhizobia bacteria on a root nodule of a legume plant. They benefit each other. In this case, the benefits to the endophyte, the plant provides food, it provides protection, and it provides dissemination of the fungus through the seed. The benefits to the tall fescue plant are many. Improved drought tolerance and deeper root development, which is going to be pretty important when it comes to improved grazing tolerance and drought tolerance. Now, improved grazing tolerance. Toxic fescue plants have a larger crown on them, and they are better tillered, and they will definitely hold up better under grazing. Greater seedling vigor and growth. It's easier and faster to get a stand of toxic fescue. Also, the yield of these is higher. They have more tillers, and therefore, it will outgrow non-toxic or endophyte free fescue. Better water conservation in the plant. They utilize water more efficiently. They do also utilize nitrogen fertilizer more efficiently, giving them some advantages. And then finally, it gives pest tolerance, nematodes, and also some diseases. Now, all of this together indicates to me, this has been around. This is an integral part of the tall fescue plant. And if we remove it, we have weakened that plant immensely to compete in nature. So in nature, throughout the eons of tall fescue history on this planet, this has been beneficial to that plant. And it's no wonder that tall fescue is a very persistent plant. Now, so what can you do about it? What are some practical solutions to the toxicity problem? Well, we worked on this a lot to decide what we can do and can't do. The number one practical one is dilution of toxic tall fescue pastures. Dilution. Joel Burns at the University of Tennessee once said that the solution to pollution is dilution. He called fescue toxicity pollution. So, anyway, the first one is weeds. Mother Nature is providing weeds in a tall fescue pasture. winter weeds are very helpful. Most of them are palatable in the spring of the year. And when they are mixed in there, animals, it reduces the problem that you will get in cattle. No question about it. The second one is crabgrass. Crabgrass volunteering in total fescue in the summer is a big factor. I contend that if we didn't have crabgrass in our total fescue pastures, our fescue toxicity problems would be a lot worse on farms than it is today. The other one is planting other grasses or legumes in total fescue, such as orchard grass, annual rye grass, Bermuda grass, others as well. And then, of course, legumes, clovers, alfalfa, Duluth. There's no question this is a beneficial thing. Besides that, it's relatively cheap. Clover is the cheapest thing we can do to get Duluth this problem. A lot of people aren't using it, unfortunately. But it's there. It can do a lot. Now, it won't entirely eliminate the problem. And it is undependable. We get droughts and so on, and clover doesn't perform. And therefore, it is one of the difficulties we have. Mowing of seed heads in spring reduces intake of highly toxic seed. Certainly, it reduces it. The problem, it doesn't eliminate it, because you still got it in the plants themselves and the leaves. Moving cattle off toxic total fescue to another grass in late spring and summer. Smart producers will do this, and that certainly is a big, big factor. The other one is feeding hay other than toxic total fescue hay in the winter. Boy, if you do that, you can really help the breeding back of cows. It will make a big difference. Ammoniation of toxic total fescue hay, you can do this, and certainly it reduces the problem. Grain feeding, big help. Depends on price of grain, of course. Destroying old toxic fescue pastures and replanting with, in our case, first we were talking about endophyte-free fescue. And again, or some other non-toxic total fescue. Now, this is costly. It is the ultimate solution if you want to really get rid of the problem. Now, if you do this, you're talking big bucks. Okay. Red or white clover and infected fescue can improve steer average daily gain. And the trials that we've checked out, at least a half a pound a day or more, what you can generally expect. And that's a big improvement. It can put you back in the black. Now, the problem is you've got to be able to maintain clover out there. In the lower south, white clover varieties on the market do not persist. They don't compete well in grass sods. Further north, they do much better. And consequently, you don't have pasture looking like this. And this one is a new white clover released at the University of Georgia called Urana. It's the toughest white clover we've ever seen. And it is on the market today. And that one, this picture taken, this is 5 years old. Clover still growing good in tall fescue. And when you have that, you really cut down your problems and you solve a lot of difficulties. Endophyte-free tall fescue. We released the first endophyte-free tall fescue variety in 1984. We thought we had it all solved at that time, and we said, that's it. Because we get excellent animal performance. Seed went on the market. A few years later, farmers started complaining. Cattlemen said, it's no good. It won't stay. Oh, what went wrong? We didn't know at that time that the endophyte was beneficial to the plant. This is what I mean about you better not have a good background of knowledge before you step up and say too much. And we had overstepped our bounds at that point. It was embarrassing. Okay, what happens? Endophyte free tall fescue, poor seedling vigor, poor grazing tolerance, and poor drought resistance. And stand losses were common when you graze closely in summer. And how many cow-calf producers do not graze closely in summer? Not many. And that's the problem right there. So it won't last. We do have, I know several cow-calf producers that have endophyte-free tall fescue stands that have maintained for 10 years. It does thin a little, but it's there. So it can be done. Now, in the northern part of the fescue belt, it will stay much better than it will further south, where stress is greater. The new one is novel endophyte or non-toxic tall fescue. What is this? This is simply where you have endophyte strains that do not produce toxic alkaloids. These are inserted in endophyte-free tall fescue varieties to produce novel or non-toxic tall fescue. First work on this and the first variety on the market was developed through cooperative research between Ag Research in New Zealand and the University of Georgia. And that is that variety is on the market today and known as Max-Q. There are other varieties now coming on the market, and that will be a opportunity. Now, this may sound very simple, but it's not. The strains are very different, and they differ not only in the fact they're low toxic alkaloids, but they differ in other ways. And then you have to mesh them with the host plant or the variety of fell fescue. Not all of them mesh well. Well, how do you know? You don't know this from laboratory work. You have to put it in the field under stress, under hard grazing, and drought stress in competition with other grasses to find out, will it persist? Because if it won't persist, I don't care what else is good about it, because that's what you want. So that takes testing, and it takes more than a year of testing, several years, and that's course is what we've had to do with this. Okay, what do they do? It gives excellent animal performance, but it also gives tall fescue plant the same benefits as in toxic fescue. Just to point out here, this is a two-year study. We've done 2 3-year studies on this. They're all very similar data on grazing trials. And with Max-Q, or this is a novel endophyte, this is endophyte-free and endophyte-infected, spring, autumn and spring. Notice one thing here. Endophyte-infected fescue, our stocking rate was higher. We could put more animals on it than we can on either the Max-Q and endophyte-free, not because the growth is different, but the main thing is that these are, they eat less on here. And therefore, you can keep more animals there. Okay, now, the daily gain, notice in the autumn, they're similar on Max-Q and endophyte-free. Of course, this is a pound a day. Same thing down here in the spring, and 2 pounds a day in the spring of the year. Notice you get basically almost a doubling in average daily in the gain per acre with the two here, the Max-Q and the endophyte-free. What about cows and calves? We've done 1 3-year study with beef cows and calves with Max-Q, and this was done in northwest Georgia. And we looked at a number of things here about what happened using toxic fescue and then the Max-Q or the novel endophyte. Calving rate, percentage, which the toxic fescue normally is decreased. Why isn't it here? Well, unfortunately, in this study, at our experiment station, we didn't have any toxic fescue hay, and they were feeding endophyte-free hay all winter. which we think is probably the reason didn't affect calving rate. Breeding back went very well. Okay, the cow average daily gain here. Notice that we got definitely a nice increase in average gain of the cows. Calf birth weight was 13 pounds heavier. The calf average daily gain, steer calves here, 0.4 of a pound. Heifer calves a little less. Calf weaning rates, this is an important thing. Steer calves, 62 pounds difference. And with the heifer calves, 44 pounds. Is this worthwhile? I think so. I think it well worthwhile. Now, if you're going to plant this and replant, it means you've got to tear up pastures. Old pastures, toxic fescue, have got to be removed completely. What's the cost of all this? Well, the seed price is higher, yes, but the big cost is removing and killing with chemicals, and that costs roughly the whole package, $150 an acre, probably. Does it pay? I think it does. I think it does. Now, the big thing is, will this stuff persist? And the way we do it, we've tested all these, and we've done it for many years now, is plant out in small plots. We plant our fescue into Bermuda grass sod to get even tougher competition and faster pressure on it. And then graze it hard all season like this. When we do this, and this is typical of these studies. Jessup here is a variety we've put it into, a Max-Q. And under drought stress, and we've had 5 years of drought, summer drought in Georgia, by the way, we've had excellent testing for it. And notice here, our fungus-free, of course, is going out. This is after 2 years. After you get three and more, it essentially disappears. The Max-Q is almost as good as the toxic fescue. Not quite, but it's good enough. Because we're stressing it a lot worse here in these studies than what a cattleman would do so. Okay, marketing of alendified tall fescue. Number one, we don't think this is for everybody. We think the small cow-calf producer that already has a poor management system, probably isn't using a controlled breeding season or anything, he has no business planting this stuff. He's wasting his money. It isn't going to improve the situation much anyway. But for serious cattle producers that are doing a good job, we think this offers a lot of promise. Payback on this, probably 3 years before you can definitely get, be sure, with brood cows and calves. And that certainly is not bad. Now, marketing of this novelendophyte seed is something different because seed price is higher, and it has to be because the producer, or the seed company, has to sell out its seed that year. If it carries it over for another year, the endophyte in it will die. And if it dies, you've got endophyte-free seed, which is worth very, very little. So, that's the problem. They've got to cover themselves for that. The Max-Q is packaged in a special bag, which does help a little on survival, but it isn't. So how do you protect yourself purchasing it? You need to have a guarantee on a tag. It says guarantees a certain level of endophyte when you buy that seed. And that is being done today. We hope it will be continue to be done by all companies that market. Because if it is not, you may get old seed and no endophyte in it that is alive. Okay, what are the implications of this? First, tall fescue pastures support more beef cattle in the U.S. than any other grass, I think, today. Oh, that may be a little strong, but it does support a lot anyway. The syndromes caused by toxic alkaloids are widespread and cause serious economic losses. And the most cattle producers suffer losses and accept them as a normal part of their operation. It is common to have cattlemen say, well, there's nothing you can do about it. And they just simply accept the fact that they've got a 70% calf crop or less. And that they've got calf weaning weights of 350, 400 pounds. They don't need to have that. And that is the sad part that goes on. Because we actually have a number of options available to ameliorate or eliminate the problem and reduce losses. And we trust that they will be used until you folks have a beef cow that is resistant to the toxins from the endophyte. Thank you.